you've served the Board of Education for a while, so you must either really, really like the job or feel that there is a lot more to be done, or a combination of both?
You're right. I have served for quite a while, and I kind of limit my service now, you know, being retired, to trying to serve, because service has always been important in my family. That's why the military and so forth in my past, and as a school teacher, assistant principal, and so forth. I try to serve in areas where I think those people are the least able to help themselves. And I look at children in that respect, and that in schools, as I tell my daughter, who's a teacher, that when she started years ago, I told her, I said, remember, that kind word that child hears from you that day might be the only kind word they're going to hear that day. That little lunch they have in the cafeteria, or that little breakfast they have, might be the best meal they're going to have that day for a lot of these children. So I guess from being a school teacher many years ago, plus being raised by a mom that my father died when I was very young, and my mother raised five of us by herself down on Myrtle Grove Sound. But I guess I'm more empathetic with people, not necessarily struggling, but the education, that school cafeteria, things like that mean a lot to them, because I know what it meant to me many years ago. So I try to, the service has continued on the school board, plus, you know, as you and I were talking, I'm the junior vice commander of the Disabled American Veterans Chapter here in Wilmington. There, and we're all volunteers, no one's paid, there we're working with veterans who are in need, their families, their spouses, their widows, whatever, to help them get the benefits they're entitled to. So that's where the service that I'm doing now is. And with the school system in particular, there's a lot of need there, plus there are a lot of things that we have started over the years, different programs, different things of that nature, that like right now we're in the middle of some building and so forth that I've been part of for many years, and would like to see that through.
Let's talk about neighborhood schools. What do you see as the path forward for neighborhood schools in the face of redistricting?
Well, I've always been a very strong proponent of choice. I try to provide as much choice as I possibly can for parents, because it's their children, and they want what's in the best interest of their children. And I basically have seen both sides of the coin as far as I was a teacher here. I started back around 1972 as a classroom teacher here in the county. And at that time, decision was that every school would reflect the racial makeup of the community, which was roughly 70-30. So if you had, say, Williston, which was I taught at Hanover and then Williston. But at Williston at the time, if there were 1,000 children there, for example, 700, according to what they had to do, had to be white, and 300 had to be black. Sunset Park, which was the junior high school then, which is no longer here, same thing. But when you looked around at our schools and so forth, our housing patterns do not coincide with what we need to do as far as schools. So what you would have to do that would be a tremendous amount of busing. And it became very clear to me over the years in talking with parents, both black and white, they wanted their children close to home. They wanted them close to home so they could, if they didn't have transportation to a far-out school, at least if it was in walking distance, if they wanted to be part of that child's education as far as being a grade mom or working with PTA or whatever, they could attend those functions. So what we as a board wrestled with for years and still do is, how do you meet the needs of the children? Because we know that if you do have neighborhood schools, which we have, you're going to have greater need in some schools than you will others. So how do you best meet the needs of that child, for example, say from an inner city situation, that if you bus them way out where the parents can't take part, or if they go to a close by school? What we decided to do was, at parents' insistence, was go with a neighborhood school program and put the resources where there's the greatest need. And I was in a meeting some time back, and a parent kind of insinuated that we didn't spend as much money on the inner city schools as we did the suburban schools. So the superintendent was sitting there, and I knew the answer, but I wanted it to come from him. I said, okay, well, give me an example. how much do we spend per child, for example, at Parsley Elementary School, which is a suburban school down on Myrtle Grove, Masonboro Sound. And we spend there roughly $6,500 per student. I said, okay, now how much do we spend at Freeman, which would be an inner city school? He said we spend about $13,000. So we're about doubling that amount of money because the need is greater, smaller class sizes, hopefully more individual attention. We pay the teachers a higher supplement for teaching there. So we're really trying to put the money, because really, would that child be better off there with the extra resources, or would that child be better off bused 10, 15 miles away or whatever, where the parent, because I used to have them tell me this, so Mr. Hayes, I don't have a car. If you take my child, say, from Creekwood, for example, and you bus them over to Murrayville Elementary School, which they were doing at one time, or over to Winter Park Elementary School, or over to Holly Tree Elementary School, I can't get there. But if you let him go right down the street there, meaning Freeman, I can go down there and I can straighten him up if he acts up, or yep, I can be involved, yep, and so forth. So that's the battle we have struggled with, really. And how do you best meet the needs of the children?
In terms of needs of the children, let's go over to school safety and what your thoughts are, especially in light of what we've witnessed, especially in the last year or two, in terms of these shootings at public schools. Mm-hmm. What's the strategy there?
Well, it's a very tragic, you know, you hate to even have to discuss things of this nature. You really do. Because I went through our school system and always felt very safe, never in any moment ever felt threatened in any way. And I went to Winter Park Elementary School, the old Lake Forest Junior High School, and graduated from New Hanover. And it's very unfortunate that we have to even talk about this. But what we have tried to do as a system is, about 3 years ago, we spent about $130,000 for a professional audit company to come in here. These are professionals as far as school safety, security, et cetera. They came in here and monitored our system, visited every school, gave us a detailed report of what they liked, what they didn't like, and then our people, plus with them, put figures to that as to what it was going to cost to correct a lot of these things. And the vast majority we could talk about, some we wouldn't talk about because you don't want everything out there as to what we can do. But basically what we did, we were following along. We haven't finished everything. But roughly, it's been more of a focus at this point on the elementary schools and the middle schools. The high schools, there's not as many. And you know, if you think about New Hanover High School, for example, Lord, think about all the doors, et cetera, that you can come and go from. They're a little more difficult than elementary schools. But what we have done, we've done some things there, but I'll start with the elementary, in that all of our elementary schools and middle schools now, and this will just be a few things that we've done, they have buzz-in systems where when you go to the front door, there's a camera there, you buzz, they can open the door from inside, you come in. The newer schools are being built kind of like with a sally port type thing, where even when you go in from there, there's still another area you have to go through to get to the school or into the office. All of the elementary schools and middle schools, that has occurred there. If you go to any of those schools and try to go in a side door, back door, whatever, you're not getting in. They're all locked. Quite a few security measures there. All of our schools have what they call these Knox boxes, where plans of the school, any information you need on that school is in a locked box where the police department or the fire department can obtain. They have keys to those if in an emergency they need to get in there. Surveillance systems, video cameras, many different things. All of our schools have what they call the panic button, where if that principal hits that button, automatically call to the sheriff's department, 911, everything. It's a lockdown. All of our doors now internally, and all of this costs money to replace all these locks, where say if this were a classroom, teacher can lock that door from the inside. Used to, a lot of times they'd have to go outside in the hall to lock the door and so forth. So there's a lot of improvements like that. Video cameras, I mean, we have a lot more cameras, which I'm a strong proponent of. I mean, I'm in favor of all of this stuff. But the phrase I use is, what we're trying to do is buy some time. Our schools have SROs, which is another thing we've added. The high schools have a couple of sheriff's deputies in each school, plus the police department puts a police officer in there. The middle schools, SROs, elementary schools. We don't have an SRO in every elementary school. They're paired. But it's a situation where they're not there. For example, the SRO might not be at Anderson, but Murray Middle School, right in the same complex. You've got three at the high school, one at the middle school. You can pretty much handle that. If you're abiding by what I think is important, which is buying some time. Where with your video cameras, if you can monitor your areas around your school, and if I'm in there and I look on my monitor and I see a suspicious-looking character getting out of a car in my parking lot or just walking up the sidewalk carrying something that looks a little suspicious, I can immediately go into lockdown, do things of that nature to buy us some time, because the shooting up at Newtown, for example, where all those elementary children were killed, they had a buzz-in system. He didn't just go down, open the door, and walk in. What he did was he went up there with an automatic weapon and shot the glass out. Mm. And within a matter of seconds, he was in the building. So you've got to have something, whether you see an individual like that coming or certain type glass or things you can do to even protect that, certain film on the glass where, yeah, he might shoot it, but it's going to take him 3 or 4 minutes to bust it out to where he can actually get in. Well, that's giving you 3 or 4 minutes, which might not sound like a lot of time, but if you're prepared and if you can go into a lockdown and you got a safe spot where they can't get to the children, and if you have an SRO there, hopefully it's going to be taken care of before they can even get close to the children. So there's a lot of things we've done from a safety point of view that we're not through with. We've allocated another $150,000 to continue in this latest budget to continue some of the safety things we're doing. And now I guess we're going to be concentrating more so on the high schools. They're just more difficult to deal with.
What would be at the top of your agenda this year?
I'm a little bit different. I think we as a board, you know, you're 7 individuals. Everyone has their main, well, not everyone has, you know, like one thing, because the vast majority of our decisions are unanimous. We don't have that much disagreement on most things, but we all have certain board members feel stronger, say, in the exceptional children's program, their interest there. Some have more of a focus over here. Mine continues to be, I feel personally, I guess I'm old-fashioned. I believe in discipline. I believe in order. I don't care how much money we spend on our schools, how nice they are, how many we replace with brand-new facilities, how safe they are, how much technology we have in there, how many board-certified teachers we have, how well-educated they are, they're excellent teachers and so forth. I'm sorry, but if you don't have order and if you don't have discipline in that classroom, you know, what good is it? So I am very tickled to see J.C. Rowe. I don't know if you're familiar with J.C. Rowe. It's an alternative school we have. Because you always hear that phrase, well, you know, you can educate a lot cheaper than you can incarcerate, which I agree with. I don't want to see children out of school on the streets causing problems or in jail or whatever. So what I've been working for, and the board has, not just me, but I guess it's a stronger point with me, is that as a former classroom teacher and as assistant principal who used to handle discipline in the school system, you're not doing these, you know, because we keep hearing, well, you know, you've got to look at where these children are coming from, at our society today, the music. You know, I don't disagree with any of that. But still, I think it's our responsibility to let them know that this is not proper. To me, discipline is love. You know, if they're doing something here and it's not proper, it's not going to get any better when they go out on the street or when they go over. I used to be on the junior high level, for example, and I'd tell parents, I said, you know, you got to work with me. We don't get it straight here, it's going to the high school. Mm-hmm. If you don't get it straight there, it's going on the street, kids will end up in jail or whatever. So J.C. Rowe is a place where we can, instead of putting a child out of school, we can send them over to J.C. Rowe administratively, reassign them to J.C. Rowe. And they have a very good program over there, strong mental health aspects, strong discipline and so forth, where, okay, you as a young man, if you came, say, from Hoggard or Ashley or Hanover or an elementary school, middle school, whatever, this is your new school, and you're going to stay here until you show us that you can go back to your traditional school and behave yourself, because I want to educate that child. But by the same token, I also want to be able to educate the other 24 that are now able mm-hmm. to receive some instruction from a very good teacher, because this kid's not there, goof it off.
One or two of the folks that are running for the board who are not currently on the board say that it's simply time for a change in terms of we need new folks on the board. And what's your what do you say to something like that?
Well, I guess I say that I think if the voters feel that way, then certainly, you know, I've always said I am what I am. I stand up for what I believe in. I'm very conservative in most of my views. I have the best interests of children at heart. But nobody has the perfect plan for how to do something. I see things one way, but I'm not so stubborn where if you show me, well, hey, Don, you're wrong there. I haven't really thought about it that way. Yeah, let's try that. I've heard that. Well, the quote I hear is, got to get rid of these old people on the board. Well, I'm a former history teacher, and I happen to think that you can learn from history, that if you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it, and that there are societies in this world that, maybe having hair that's no longer brown, that maybe is a little gray now or whatever, maybe you have a little wisdom to go along with that, and you've seen some programs that maybe have been initiated or tried somewhere else. And, you can provide some insight into that as to, well, yeah, that was tried back, whatever. It didn't work then. It's really not going to work now. But that's my opinion and so forth. So I don't know. If there were something I think that people definitely disagreed on as to what the board is doing, but I haven't really heard other than, it's just time for some new faces or whatever. But to me, I kind of use the old, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Or what if it's not? Well, whatever that phrase is.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah.
But I think, and we've got a good cross-section on the board right now. A lot of boards around the state, because I'm very familiar with a lot of them, most of them that I've seen, the vast majority are dominated by retired educators, really. Former principals, teachers, et cetera. Here, for example, Jeanette Nichols is a former elementary teacher. Ed Higgins, retired Cape Fear Community College. Don Hayes, former junior high teacher, middle school teacher, junior high assistant principal. That's it. So it's not dominated, but I think it's good to have people like Janice Kavanaugh, business background. That's good. Ed Higgins also, taught law, courses of that nature. We have some others on the board who are not up for re-election, but for those that are up, I think it's a good cross-section that I think contributes to the board. And provides insights. I think my insights as a former classroom teacher are beneficial, just like Mrs. Nichols are beneficial. But yet Mrs. Kavanaugh's business background, and of course Ms. Ed Higgins is also business, but he also taught. I just think it's a good mix. So, sometimes change is not always cracked up to be or whatever, but I leave it up to the voters. I've always said that, like I said, I am what I am. I have my views. And I guess I'm more old-fashioned in some ways, but really do have the best interests of children at heart, and how can we as a board meet those needs, I guess, is what drives me. And if I look at someone, and I've seen this over the years, whether it be school board members, superintendents, whatever, if I feel they honestly have the best interests of children at heart, I'd say, we just disagree on how to go about this, but I respect your position. I know you're sincere. Where I have seen situations where someone was just kind of trying to feather a resume or something of that nature by wanting to incorporate some type of plan. But as long as I think they're serious, then, I have no problem.
Don Hayes, thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much for being here. And, I look forward. I'm in the phone book. All they've got to do is go online. If anyone has any questions or comments, anything they'd like to direct to me, call me, and I'll be more than happy to discuss it with you.